In case you missed the theme of tonight's reading, it's about being called. It's a call of Samuel. It's a call of the first disciples, the first apostles. And it's a call to holiness, as St. Paul reminds us. And sometimes we can think that we haven't been called by God because we haven't had one of these earth-shaking moments of transformation. We haven't heard as Samuel heard, sleeping on the temple floor, "Samuel, Samuel, come here." That invitation of hearing the voice of God speaking intimately to us to come and join him in a mission, in a ministry, in a work that he is calling us to do. We may have not had a brother or sister or good friend point out to you, "There goes the Lamb of God." And knowing our faith, saying, "I need to go there because God is calling me to go there where Jesus is." But each of us has been called through our baptism, certainly, but in many, many different ways. We are called in different ways, in different circumstances, our lives to serve God and to serve him in whatever manner, whatever place, whatever gift that he has given to us to be his beloved children, to serve him in life. And those things happen as we remember the stories and those instances of great love, great joy, great hope that oftentimes spring out of the most ordinary circumstances but come to great fruition in the love and the service of God. Several years ago, I was preparing a funeral for an elderly gentleman. His wife had died. And as we talked and shared different things, one of the things I ask is all the time is, "How did you meet?" And he says, "Well, it was a funny story, Father." He said, "I'd just gotten out of the service. World War II had come to an end. Me and a friend, we'd been assigned in the Pacific during the war, and we'd gotten back to San Diego, and we were discharged from San Diego, and we were making our way home." He was from back east in the state of New York, not the city itself, but a little town in upstate New York. And his friend was from San Jose. And his friend said to him, "You know, why don't you come up with me to San Jose and, you know, hang out for a couple days and, you know, before you head back to New York, because you have a, you know, your train ticket basically gives you a train ride across the country. Doesn't matter which direction you take." Now, that would sound like something very normal, except for this gentleman hadn't seen his family, his mom and dad, for over 3 years. He'd went to the service, went to the Pacific and had been staying there and had never been able to go home. And so he was very homesick. He wanted to get back to home, wanted to get back to all the things that he wanted to do. But he said, for some reason, he said, "Yeah, okay, I'll go up to San Jose for a couple days, you know, and then I'll head back to New York and begin again and begin my life again." So his friend says, "Okay, you know, great. I'll, you know, they, you know, made sure his mom and dad knew that he was going to bring a friend home with him, you know, not just show up on the door and say, 'Hey, here's my friend Bob,' right?" So in the course of that, you know, taking the train up to San Francisco and things like that, you know, getting off, walking from the train station to their house, which was in downtown San Jose, walking in the door, and he said it was like a bolt of lightning, because his friend's sister was standing in the kitchen. And he knew right then and there that that would be his wife. Out of the very normalest circumstances of visiting a friend, something that, you know, he didn't really think much of, he discovered his vocation. He discovered that he was called to the married life and to marry this beautiful young lady who would become his wife of over 60 years, to produce him several children and many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And the beauty of that call, right? As he said, he didn't know why he said yes to his friend, because when he was getting discharged, all he could talk about was going home. And the funny part was, he found home here in San Jose, with this wonderful young lady. And oftentimes, those are the calls of God that when we spend time, as Samuel did, in prayer, in the presence of the temple, in the presence of the Lord, we begin to recognize and hear those calls to the very ordinary things of life that bring about the holiness and the blessedness of the world. If Andrew had not hung around John the Baptist and heard his stories, we know that Andrew wasn't there 100% of the time because he fished with his brother all the time. But we also know that Andrew opened his ears to hear the story of God's coming so that when John the Baptist pointed out the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Andrew's heart was ready to receive that word and follow in that calling that became the great ministry of being an apostle of the church. Being one of the 12 who walked with Jesus, who ministered with Jesus, who cared with Jesus for the sick, the dying, the possessed, those who needed healing from sin. And that calling that we are called to respond to happens differently in our lives. I could take, if you ever want to talk to me, I'll talk to you about my calling to the priesthood. But each married couple has a different story to tell. Each person who is chosen to minister to the church has a different story to tell. Each person who is called to the service of another has a story to tell. But do we recognize that it was a call of God to the service and love of our brothers and sisters that brought us to that point, that brought us to the point where we could say yes, where we could recognize that it wasn't just a coincidence, it just didn't happen, but God was calling us to that moment, preparing us for that moment, so that we would say yes to that moment. That is what God desires of us. That is what God calls us to be servants to the other. If you don't believe me, believe Jesus. He calls us to open our hearts to see his presence in others so that we might serve others, that we might recognize those moments of grace and those moments of blessing where we are called to respond with generosity, with hope, with love, with compassion, with mercy, with forgiveness, whatever it is. Because that is where God calls us to be. And I could tell you, sadly, in my life, the times that I didn't respond to that call, where I chose to turn my back and later recognized, oh, I missed it. Why wasn't I there? Why didn't I hear it? And often it's because, as St. Paul points out in his letter today to us, it's because I've chosen to turn away from God in just that little way in my life. Not a big sin, not a terrible deed, but I've closed my heart to hear his word for just a little bit. And so we are reminded again and again and again to return to God. As Samuel is called 3-4 times that night to hear his words, when he can finally say, oh yes, now I know who's calling me. God is persistent in his call. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't stop. He doesn't sit there and say, oh, I've asked them enough to do this. They're never going to say yes. But rather, he asks and he invites and he offers again and again and again for each one of us to respond to his voice of love, with our actions of love, with our blessings of love, with our hopes of love. And so as we receive love, his son Jesus Christ, this evening, as we carry forth his word into the world, we are reminded that we will hear God's call. We'll hear the cry of the poor. We'll hear his voice of joy and blessing. We'll hear his words of love. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, if we seek to know him deeply and completely in our lives, if we seek to be with him, to be with him within our brothers and sisters, within our community, within those around us. That is his call for us. That is his word for us. As he says, come. Come blessed by my Father and inherit the kingdom.